right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 Free FM. Don't forget, you can always contact us 24 hours a day. We're open 24 hours a day at conwayshow@gmail.com. conwayshow@gmail.com. And Randy Wang, while he's not dancing to this song, reads every single email. Most of them in the nude. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's odd, isn't it?
I pull the boxers down and I open up the emails.
Wow. All right. You just keep them around the ankles?
Yeah.
All right. It's quite a visual. conwayshow@gmail.com. Get your emails read by Nude Randy. All right, folks. It is 9 o'clock.
Ooh,
look at him.
Just a little bit. Ooh, just a little bit more. Ooh, just a little bit. You're the one I'm looking for.
Gina Grab.
Gina G, my big hit in high school.
All right. Let's do news with Gina Grad, everybody.
Now, from the 97.1 newsroom.
Back up.
What do you do when they turn on what?
Here's Gina Grad with the news.
What do you do when they turn on what?
What do you do?
When they turn on you.
All right, what's happening in the news, Gina Grad?
There's so much going on tonight.
I'll bet.
Must be a full moon. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, the Seattle Supersonics will move to Oklahoma City next season after reaching a settlement. Mm. The city of Seattle will be paid $45 million up front, and Sonics owner Clay Bennett will pay an additional $30 million in 5 years if the city is unable to secure another NBA team. Yep, the team's name and colors will remain in Seattle. The announcement came just hours before a federal judge was to issue a ruling in a lawsuit between the city and the Sonics over the Key Arena lease. The city had sued the Sonics to try to force them to continue playing in Seattle through the end of 2010. And we have some audio of Seattle Mayor Greg Nickels trying to keep a stiff upper lip about this move.
All right, like anyone cares about this team. Here we go.
The NBA has committed to helping us to secure a future team, informing us of any sale, relocation, or expansion opportunities. I believe that all along, enforcing our lease would create time for us to come to a better arrangement. We now have that deal. The Sonics' name and history stay in Seattle.
No, it doesn't.
It goes to Oklahoma.
I like how the guys try to BS everybody. It's like the Lakers' name and history stay in Minnesota. No. No, sweetheart. They're out here now, and they're known as the Los Angeles Lakers. And after about two or three generations die off in Seattle, no one will ever remember they ever played in Seattle.
Yeah.
So it's not staying in Seattle, sweetheart. It's over. It's moving to Oklahoma.
The Sonics' name and history stay in Seattle.
Well, no. The Sonics' name, I believe, is going with the Sonics,
going
right?
Going to Oklahoma, yeah.
And it's going to be bizarre because they're going to be called the Supersonics. And the Supersonics, I believe, were named in Seattle because that's where Boeing was.
Okay.
And so Oklahoma, not so Sonic-ish.
It's going to be the land claimers.
Yeah, the Sonics
ground
stink.
Stakers.
Yeah. The Oklahoma
they stink
cows.
Anyway. Yeah, the whole Oklahoma cow crap. But they don't, they're not that great anyway. I mean, nobody, who cares up in Seattle?
Yeah.
They got a great football team. They got a great baseball team.
Is that the Seahawks?
Yes,
the football team.
Yeah, the football team is the Seahawks. And that would have been interesting if the Seahawks moved to Oklahoma and they still called it Seahawks because Oklahoma is landlocked and there may have never been a Seahawk.
Ever.
Ever.
Near Tulsa, ever.
In the state of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
All right. Congratulations, Oklahoma. You got yourself an NBA team. Good luck. All right. Anything else in the news, Gina Grab?
Well, yes. Thomas Beatty, the transgendered man who made headlines as the so-called pregnant man, gave birth today to a healthy baby girl.
All right.
The birth at the hospital in Bend, Oregon was performed naturally, quote unquote. Beatty, born a woman who had his breasts surgically removed and legally changed his gender from female to male, leapt to prominence around the world in April when the wispy bearded man revealed he was pregnant.
Yeah.
And despite years of taking hormones and living outwardly as a man, Beatty maintained that he retained his female sex organs because he intended one day to get pregnant.
And he did it.
Yeah, if you're having a little trouble remembering who this is, we have some audio from his/her Oprah interview a while back on how exactly his new body works.
All right, here we go. Dude had his own baby.
I don't mean to be ignorant, but do you like grow testicles too?
No, I mean, I just introduced testosterone to my body a little later, so the body had already formed to a certain point, but certain changes do happen.
And then does the clitoris get larger?
It does.
Yeah.
And it looks like a penis. Looks like a small penis.
Yeah.
Does size matter?
Yeah.
Ms. Oprah with all the probing questions, man. Oh, Bob Boom.
Well, to some people, yes.
But... I don't know. You can ask my wife that
okay.
question.
So it means that you just basically, your clitoris grows. It looks like a small penis, and therefore yep. you look like a man.
Yes, and I can have intercourse with my wife.
Intercourse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
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 I don't know anything more needs to be said. Oprah talking about this man's clitoris.
Oh.
Or a clitoris. And interesting world we live in.
It's an Audi.
Ah, Babu. I don't know if I have to explain this to my daughter yet. She's fairly young.
Oh, Babu.
But if you had an 8 or 9 year old kid, you have to explain why the dude's having a baby.
How would you?
I heard the what was it, Bend Over, Oregon? Was it Bend, Oregon?
Bend.
I heard the baby was born 6 hours ago. It's already broken out of the hospital and killed 15 people. Remember the movie called The Thing?
I think it's before my time.
Oh, it was before your time. Yeah, but a lot of people listening right
called
now. Do you remember that movie, Randy? Have you ever seen it?
I've seen it.
It's The Thing. It's where this chick has a baby and it's an alien. And it breaks out of the hospital, losing the sewers, and just eats people.
Fantastic.
I got that confused with the blob, which also might be appropriate.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Anything else in the news, Gina Gray?
Yes. Well, former child star and former 97.1 employee Susan Olsen of Brady Bunch fame was in the news recently when she had a hard time keeping from vomiting on a Colorado morning radio show. Yes. The actress who played Cindy Brady was being interviewed on 107.9 FM and almost couldn't finish the segment due to a massive hangover. We have a clip of this train wreck, which includes some insulting words from her son.
Cindy Brady throwing up on morning radio because she's so hungover.
Was it difficult once the series was over to return to, well, I don't know, did you return to somewhat of a normal life at that point, or was it, were things kind of different forever after the break?
I always led two lives. I had a normal life and my professional life.
Mm-hmm. Are you okay?
You know what?
Are you all right?
Chris got me wasted last night, and I'm so ready to vomit on the microphone. Chris Fonseca is my bad influence. Come to Lenny's tonight and watch me, watch us
watch
be mean to each
like
other.
Okay. All right.
How old's the kid who's yelling at her?
I'm not sure. He sounds like a preteen.
Watch her drink like a pig.
He's 10.
Watch us
watch
be mean
drink
to each
like
other.
Okay. All right. Susan, it's been nice having you here.
Yeah, it sounds like it's been nice having you here. It's Susan Olsen about to throw up all over the place, and the lunatic Chris Farley type 11-year-old.
It's a rough room.
Quite a circus going on there in the morning radio in Denver.
It's time to go. We'll take a quick break, and we're back with board. That's okay. Why don't we get Susan? It's nice to have you here.
Well, I'm gonna throw up now.
Yeah. Okay.
Gino, man, it's fun to do evening radio. These guys don't troll around here.
No, it's, you know, I led this double life when...
How old is Susan Olsen now? She's
well,
got to be 40.
She was born, I think, in 61.
Okay, so she's 46, 47?
Yeah.
47 years old? All right.
Watch us
watch
be mean to each other.
Pig.
Okay.
So she's 47, and she's got like an 11-year-old kid?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Is that what her real radio show sounded like?
I don't know, man.
Do you remember those days?
I don't remember really listening a lot to the Susan Olsen radio show. I think I moved on. I think I listened to Howard Stern, The Regular Guys, and then it was off to Dr. Laura or something.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. I remember listening to a lot of
95 and 96, right?
Yeah, I think it was.
She came out right for Kata.
Watch you drink like a pig.
Okay.
Watch you drink like a pig. That kid reminds me of Mayor Giuliani's son. Remember at the inauguration?
What'd he do?
When he went nuts, he went ballistic. He was jumping all over the podium and everything.
Oh, my God.
And Chris Farley played him on Saturday Night Live. It's great.
Watch it drink like a pig.
Okay.
Watch it drink like a pig.
Like a pig.
Hey, somebody could be saying that about Gina Grad right now.
You know, watch it drink like a pig. Okay.
I'm just enjoying a crisp sip of some Loose Goose wine.
Yeah, it looks good. Smells good over here, too.
Amazing. Yeah. Very refreshing.
All right. Anything else in the news there, Gina Grad?
Yeah, well, if it's okay with you, I thought I'd leave you with a few fun 4th of July facts.
Oh, great.
I Let's get started.
All right.
The number of hot dogs to be consumed this 4th of July is 150 million.
Wow.
Yes. Amount of chicken purchased in the week leading up to July 4th, 700 million pounds.
Jesus Christ, man.
Total dollar amount spent on fireworks last year was $900 million. And the average number of people injured by fireworks in a year, which I thought actually might be more, 9,200.
That's not bad.
No, not bad at all. I don't know what the big deal is. These are my two I save the best for last. Dollar amount of fireworks imported to the U.S. from China, $212 million. And dollar amount of American flags imported into the U.S. from China, $5 million. Something so poetic about
yeah.
that.
Yeah. You know, I was watching, I think it was MSNBC or Fox News, one of those morning shows, and they had the guy on and the girl on who are the hot dog eating champions of the world.
Right. Kobayashi.
Yeah. And then some other Asian chick. And I'm thinking, you know, this will have to go the way of the dodo bird if that saying hasn't already gone the way of the dodo bird. But because, you know, when you start introducing eating contests like that and you get kids all riled up, then why don't they have a cigarette smoking contest?
Yeah.
Why don't they have, you know, a vodka shot contest or a cocaine contest? Because these kids are going to emulate these people and go, wait a minute, I can outdo that. Like Randy Wang. Randy Wang used to see that hot dog eating contest every year. And you thought you could do it, huh?
I still think I can.
And how much do you weigh now?
260.
260 pounds, man.
I used to be 280.
I know. Congratulations.
He said he could eat, 100 Wiener Schnitzel hot dogs during the show?
No, he couldn't.
In 3 hours, I could eat 100 Wiener Schnitzel hot dogs.
Yeah, but with the bun?
Yeah.
Get out of here,
I
dude.
I could do it.
Dude, have you ever done it before? What's the most amount of hot dogs you've eaten in one sitting?
In about a half hour, I had about 15 hot dogs.
Oh, God.
Jesus Christ, man. Well, there's a big difference between 15 and 100.
But 15 for every half hour.
But there's a big difference between 15 and 16, too. I mean, when you're about to puke, you know, and then 16 and 17 is a huge mess, too. But 17 to 100, get out of here, dude.
And what's up with these Japanese people? They don't even, I mean, that's hot dogs aren't even a part of their culture.
I know. I think what they do is, I know this... that Asian kid who always wins. What's his name?
Kobayashi.
He eats a lot of rice the night before, and it expands his stomach.
Really?
And then he has this big old stomach going in there and pounds those dogs. Yeah, man. All right, we're going to take a break when we come back. Meryl Schindler is with us. He's brought in a very good friend of his, Peter Goosens, who runs the Loose Goose Wine Festival up in Valencia. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. News with Gina Grad. Thank you very much.
The news with Gina Grad.
Son, shut up.
Give us 8.5 minutes, and we'll give you, well, that.
All right, you're listening to the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 Free FM.
Hamburgers and rolls, a great place where wine flows.
Come on, Meryl.
Tell us where to go.
Yeah.
For Chinese or Japanese. Where to go?
Yeah!
Meryl's kinda wacky, but he knows his stuff. Come on, Meryl, we can't get enough. So tell us where to go.
Don't hold back, Meryl.
Tell us where to go.
I'm feeling hungry.
Tell us where to go.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 Free FM. Sitting in here is Meryl Schindler, everybody.
Hey, day before the 4th of July, the day before the big hot dog eating contest.
And you brought a good friend of yours in Peter Goosens. Nice
Peter
to see
Goosens,
you, man.
A friend of the station.
Yeah.
Puts on
how
the
are you?
Loose Goose Wine Festival. When's that coming up?
It's coming up the first week of October.
First week of October, and that's a big deal out there. You get like thousands of folks out there, huh?
Yeah, we get it. Last year we had about 7,500, and this year we expect about 10,000.
Wow, look at you, man.
And you got me broadcasting there. You got Frosty Heidi Franken showing up to taste the wines.
Mm-hmm.
They do a good job.
Yeah, they
taste twice their body weight in wine.
Now, you brought some wine in, some white wine, and Meryl's had like a bottle or two
already.
Snoot.
Yeah. A snootful. You know, he brought in this, it's a grape called Viognier. Kanye, which, what would you say, about 10 years ago, 15 years ago, was unknown in California?
Yeah, I would say about 10 to 15 years ago, nobody had heard. Well, you know, but the large...
Well, it was a French grape.
It's a French grape.
And
it's
in France, even in France, they didn't grow a lot of it.
Right.
And it's a very crisp, very dry, very flinty kind of grape.
Right.
Has a nice taste. And then some of the crazy people up in Santa Barbara County decided, hey, we can grow this stuff too.
Right.
Right now, they've got like 10 times as much in Santa Barbara as they do in France.
I'm sure they do, yeah.
And it's the same flavor and everything?
It's the same flavor. It's
same deal.
But it's the same deal. What is funny, Tim, is you can give the same grape to 10 different winemakers and you come up with 10 different wines.
Oh, so, I see, okay.
So, yeah, it's the same in the same flavor palette, but, you know, you can make anything. Somebody can screw it up.
Actually, some years ago, I went to an event that had been done in Santa Barbara where they gave the same bunch of grapes to 10 different winemakers and said, make wine. Mm-hmm. And then they did a tasting a few years later of the wines they made. They bore no resemblance to each other. I mean, one of them was completely undrinkable.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, some of them were real nice, but it was weird. It was like, it's the same grape. Shouldn't it be the same stuff?
Yeah, now how is wine made? I mean, because, you know, guys like me, you know, I just see it in the bottle. I just assume it's, you know, it comes that way.
Well, they make it in a box and then they pour it in the bottles.
Now, what do? They grow the grapes, and what's the next step after the grapes?
They grow the grapes, and when the grapes are ready to harvest, and that depends on, you know, how many bricks are in there, and that's actually a degree of sugar, sweetness.
Bricks are B-R-I-X.
Yes.
All right. So that's the amount of sugar.
I got to learn this, because I often hear Tom Likas talking about it. And he seems like he really enjoys the wine and enjoys, you know, he talks about the bouquet and the aroma and the fruitiness and all that stuff. And I'm like, I have no idea what he's talking about. I assume he knows what he's talking about.
You know, there are different ways of looking at wine. And one is, does it taste good? Is this okay? Is good stuff? Good price? I like the stuff. Others get into it tastes like raspberries, it tastes like tobacco, I taste leather. One of the nice things about Peter is he doesn't get into all the pretension of it. He just gets into, it's pretty good stuff, you should try it, which is what I like.
Well, what always amazes me is it's a food product. It's fermented grape juice. And I've always people come up to me and say, sir, could you tell me how to taste this? And I'm like, well, if you want salami, don't you go to, you know, pavilions and you say, cut me a slice, and if I like it, I buy it.
Right.
And so it's really, you know, people are intimidated by the product, and that's because years and years, you know, that has been the trend in the wine business is to try to intimidate people with the
terminology. But why would they want to do that? Why would people want to intimidate folks who aren't familiar with wine?
Well, I think it's a natural human behavior, you know, that they know something more than anybody else and they want to make it look a little...
If it's got a mystique, it seems special rather than just, it's grape juice. But you want to get away from it's grape juice.
All right. Meryl Schindler's with us. Also, Peter Goossens. He puts on that Loose Goose Wine Festival every year out in Valencia. If you had 10 bottles of wine that were all considered, you know, sensational bottles of wine, and you had 10 critics, they wouldn't all settle on one bottle of wine.
No, they wouldn't all settle on one bottle of wine, and that's why with the big tastings, they actually get to taste the same wine several times. They're blind tastings, so what happens is there are certain trends in wines, and so if some of the famous critics like really, you know, full-bodied, in-your-face wines, then most of the other critics, you know, tend to go with that trend.
Is that right?
So they tend to follow it. Yeah, so they tend to, and it's trendy like anything else.
Right.
You know, a couple of years ago, Merlot was very popular, and then now Pinot Noir, the Syrahs are now the most popular at this point, Syrahs or Shiraz. And so it's trendy like anything else, you know.
Also, in a funny way, nobody knows anything.
That's what I assume.
You've read about the famous black glass tasting at Davis. This was a tasting that Davis has denied they did, but the people who were part of it say, yes, they did it. They used black glasses, so you couldn't see if the wine was white or red.
Right.
They brought in wine experts. More than 50% of them couldn't tell if the wine was white or red.
Is that right?
Because they couldn't see it. And it's like, and Calvin Trillin did a great story on it in The New Yorker on this tasting that you go, well, of course I could tell white or red, right? It's obvious. It wasn't obvious.
So now, could you do it, Meryl, if we brought in like 10 bottles of wine, five are red and five are white, and they're at the same temperature. Could you nail every one of them?
I'd like to believe I could. Peter, I'm sure you like to believe you could. Yet these experts at Davis, UC Davis, big deal school for enology, right. They couldn't tell the difference. So while we think we could tell, maybe we actually can't. But I know Peter's so good at this, is that give me something at a good price.
Right. You know, what's a good price for a bottle of wine?
If it's a daily drinking wine, I would say anything under $15 would be a good price.
Right. Do they make good under wine 15. At $15?
Oh, yeah.
What's the best $15 bottle of wine you can buy?
Some of the good stuff from Chile, some of the good stuff from Argentina.
Right. South America is very good values. South Africa, Australia, they all have great values because they produce larger quantities. It's not difficult to understand, Tim. If you go to Napa and, you know, an acre of land is costing a fortune already, that the grapes that come from there are already going to be more expensive. So the wine is going to be more expensive, and the correlation with the price is not always there. So it doesn't always mean because it's an expensive piece of property that the grapes came from.
The thing is, any fool can buy a good bottle for $100. You go to Wally's, you BevMo, you buy $100, you'll buy a nice bottle. But the real trick is to buy the good bottle for $15 or $12. And that's what's fun about being into wines, tasting them and going, hey, this is a discovery. This is nice. I mean, that Viognier that we're drinking, how much is that bottle?
This is actually about $26.
$26? Yeah. I would serve this to anybody. Right. This is a first-class wine.
That is a good smelling wine.
Yeah.
And I was taking a glass of it before, and Gina was yelling at me. Why were you yelling at me, dude?
Because you throw it back like, you know, you're taking a pill and you're just shooting a cup of water with it. I mean, it's like you don't even enjoy it. Like, have you ever heard of the word savor?
Yeah, Gina said, you know, when Peter opened one of these bottles, I took a hit out of the bottle, and Gina's like, you know, dude, what's wrong with you? It doesn't taste the same out of the bottle as it does a glass.
Hit it right out of the bottle, a classy man with a capital K.
What, you've never heard of slam bam thank you, ma'am? I mean, it's, you know, sometimes you throw it back.
I don't know. I thought that's just the way you do it. But it tastes different in a glass than it does out of the bottle?
Well, the bottle's glass, too. But, you know, with a brown paper bag around it, it has a certain charm.
But, wine has a lot of pretension around it. I know people who bring their own glasses to restaurants.
What?
Because the glasses in the restaurants aren't going to be good enough. So there are these carriers that Riedel, right? Riedel makes the carriers. Mm-hmm. These carriers, these like fancy leather boxes, they put these glasses that are like, what, like $75, $100 per glass the leather carrier, and in the restaurant, you got to drink it out of their glass because it's got a better mouthfeel.
Get the Christ out of you. You know what? Those guys are a-holes.
But you know what? Those people, I know a few of them, they bring their own wine to the restaurant, too.
I understand bringing your own wine.
And they bring their own... I know a guy brought his own water to the restaurant because the restaurant wouldn't have water. So it's
why the Christ is he going to a restaurant?
So why is he going... I know. Why did he bring... He should bring along a chicken, too. Hand the chef a chicken and say,
that guy's a douchebag because I'll tell you why. Anytime you're bringing your own water, your own wine, and your own glass to a restaurant, you're doing it to show everybody that you're better than they are, right?
Well, there was an article in the LA Times on Wednesday where their critic talked about how she's going to, like, go back and stay at someone's house in New York. Now, New York is a big city, right?
Right.
Okay, so she, in her suitcase, she had packed different pastas, she had packed different salami, she'd packed this, that, and you go in. So why'd you go anyplace, okay? You know, you go to New York, buy it there.
Exactly.
What do you mean you're bringing all your food with you? What sort of jerk brings all their food with them?
I don't know. All right. By the way, what paper did you read that in?
It was the Los Angeles Times.
Was it an old edition? Are they still in business? They're still running down there, huh?
Barely.
All right. Meryl
Working
Schindler.
On fumes. And Peter Goossens.
And Peter Goossens is with us. That big festival you have out in Valencia is awesome every year.
Well, thank you.
And it started out with just a couple hundred people, right?
Well, we started with about 1,500 people and big ambitions. And but we have a very non-threatening approach to wines, and I think people really
like
that.
That's cool. You really do, because when you brought the wine in, You know, Meryl asks you something about what's the bouquet, and you're like, I just drink it. It's really good. You know? All right, if you have a question about wine, Peter Goossens is a specialist. If you have a question about food, Meryl Schindler will tackle that. But it is the holiday coming up. It's 4th of July. You're going to have food and wine at your table. You might as well have the best. Here are the phone numbers, 520-9710. That's 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. Now, Meryl Schindler, you've heard, obviously, you're a big food guy. You've heard the recall at Ralph's that they recalled beef, ground beef.
Every week they're recalling something, right?
I know. Tomatoes, then it's the beef.
Apples,
and once the recall is on,
lettuce.
It doesn't end for me. It's a life recall for me. You know what I mean?
So you're like,
I don't go back to
forever.
Eating tomatoes. I don't go back to buying, you know, ground beef.
So your diet is down to soy.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You're big on soy till it's recalled.
But where is, I want to ask you this question, and I meant to ask you before, but, you know, now that we're on the air, we can certainly talk about it. Is there a great butcher in the Valley? A great butcher. Not going to a supermarket, but a place that just does meat in the Valley.
There used to be a really good butcher at the Trader Joe over on White Oak, and I'm not sure if it's still there, but they used to have their own butcher counter there, and it was real good. My wife goes to the one over on Vicente in Brentwood. They have a butcher counter there.
Right.
I think that virtually, in fact, I know that all the Whole Foods markets have their own butcher.
Oh, they do? Okay.
There's a butcher counter there. You go up there, and
it's pretty good stuff, though.
We have, like, lost our ability to go to a butcher and say, I want such and such, because we've forgotten how that works.
Right.
You know, I mean, my mother, she would go, she'd, you know, cut the fat, trim this, cut it like that, pound it. These guys would do stuff and toss in a couple of bones for the dog.
Right.
You know, they don't do, you grew up in Europe. You remember, people would be very specific about their needs.
Right, and all the kids got meatballs on the way.
Yeah, exactly. You know where else they're good at it? They have a good butcher counter. There's a 99 Ranch markets over in, I guess, Van Nuys, the Asian market.
Right.
Those Asian ladies, they don't take crap from anyone.
Right.
If you give them something that isn't up to their standards, they will cut you a new one. Right. I've seen them scream, and they scream in Chinese,
and
too.
Where is this?
Impressive.
It's on Van Nuys Boulevard?
What, is it Van Nuys Boulevard, or is it Sepulveda? Up at about more or less Victory, a little north of there. It's called 99 Ranch Market.
Oh, okay.
And they got these great fishmongers and these great meat cutters. And these guys live in fear that you won't like it. So the way that, you know, you go to your generic market, you buy the piece of flank steak, it looks good, you flip it over, it's all fat.
Right.
You don't get that at these places.
Right.
They don't dare do stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's the old ways.
But you can't trust these markets anymore. My wife bought a pound of ground beef, came home, made tacos or something, or burritos, and we both tasted it, and we almost threw up, you know, because the meat was bad.
But you should notice that before you cooked it.
We didn't really notice
that. Take a little sniff. Do the sniff test.
We sniff it, but you know what?
I don't know about
you. To me, it all smells the same.
You're a married guy, I'm a married guy, but when I was dating, the sniff test was very important. Always did that. She didn't pass the sniff test. She was gone.
Right. You mean, well, perfume, obviously.
Of course. What else would I be talking about?
Yeah, let's talk to Jamie in San Francisco. You're on 97.1.
Yeah, I just want to recommend a bottle of wine. There's it's called Castle Rock. It's a Zinfandel that I bought at BevMo for $10, and it's awesome.
Is that right?
Do you
Castle
know the stuff?
Rock? Yeah, Castle Rock. Actually, they have a Pinot Noir that is really good too.
And does it come out of the state of Washington up there?
No, Castle Rock is actually
Geyserville, California.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's up there by
hey,
Napa.
Hey, remember, we got hundreds. Is it thousands? Maybe of wineries.
At this point, we have 2,500 wineries in the state of California.
Jesus yeah. There's some tiny stuff out there. Yeah. And that's one of the nice things about going to a festival like Loose Goose is that you get to taste stuff you'd never encounter otherwise. And, you know, you'd have to go to a store, buy a bottle. You go to these festivals, you taste a glass, you go, hey, this is good stuff. I like this stuff.
Right.
I'm going to buy this.
Now, when you because I don't know much about wine. What is the most expensive wine you can buy? And you know, like, let's say you went on the internet, you want to buy a real nice bottle of wine. What is it?
Are we talking Bordeaux now?
Yeah, you're probably talking about
French
Chateau Margaux or
Lafite Rothschild.
And what does that run per bottle?
You go far enough back, you know, you're spending $10,000 for a bottle.
For a bottle?
Or yeah. More, yeah.
Jesus more.
Yeah, if,
look at that.
You know, once they get so old, I like to think that it's more like a stamp collection than anything else. Because it's worth that money as long as you keep it closed.
All right, now what happens to a bottle of wine if you open up, you leave it on the counter? It turns to vinegar?
Actually, that's a misconception. Oh. Wine hardly ever turns into vinegar.
What does it turn into?
Well, it just goes bad. It goes flat, you know, and the chemical composition deteriorates.
Right.
I would say, in general, when you open up a bottle of wine and you don't finish it, you know, there's no reason to save it because, you know, you probably didn't like it.
So you can't put the cap on it and throw it back in the fridge.
Actually, you can. And you could probably keep it for anywhere up to 72 hours.
That's it?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Jesus
and then,
Christ.
And then it kind of goes flat.
Yeah, and some people would argue, you know, you can keep it longer, and some people would argue. Someone years ago told me, pour it out that night. It's gone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think wine doesn't go bad that fast.
No, but it just loses a lot of its original flavor. And we're talking about reds.
But there are all those tricks, too, where you pump some nitrogen into it. You know, there's all sorts of ways you put these special tops on, you pump nitrogen in, it gets all the oxygen out of it, and stuff's supposed to stick around.
Yeah, they have some tricks that you can do nowadays, you know.
But isn't it like trying to revive a 90-year-old? I mean, you know, you can put a lot of tubes in
Viagra's
it.
Viagra's very effective,
and hook up the heart and everything.
Put a little Viagra into the wine.
But isn't the bottle basically brain dead at that point?
You've seen that wine thing where you put it inside like a magnet, right?
Yes, and that works?
You buy these bottles, like, bottoms. You put it into a bad bottle into this magnet. You let it sit there for a few hours. It's supposed to turn into good wine.
And does it work?
Well, I don't know about a bad bottle turning it into a good one, but what it does is it ages the wine a lot faster.
Yeah.
So it's a
it does something.
It's a typical American invention, you know, where there is no patience anymore.
Isn't
to
that
wait
wild?
Until that wine.
Yeah, keep
it
away from your computer, though. Yeah. You got a nice bottle of wine, but you lose your hard drive. All right, Peter Goossens is with us. He runs the Loose Goose Wine Festival up there in Valencia every year. It comes in second week of October?
First week of October.
And Merrill Schindler is with us. He knows more about food than anybody around in Southern California. So if you want a suggestion for great food over this holiday weekend or a great bottle of wine, we're going to team you here with Peter and with Merrill. 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 Free FM. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 Free FM. Merrill Schindler is with us. He's a specialist when it comes to food and drink. And Peter Goossens is with us. He runs the Loose Goose Wine Festival up in, Valencia, right?
Valencia.
And it's going to be the first week of October, They expect about 10,000 people up there.
We do.
Yeah, so get on up there.
And remember, tomorrow's the 4th of July. A lot of people barbecuing.
A lot of people
drinking brewskis. But they could also crack open some good wine, right? You know, wine goes fine with barbecue.
It goes fine with barbecue, although I have to say I'm Belgian, so I don't discriminate against brewskis.
Have you ever tasted Belgian beer?
Man, the stuff, what is some Belgian
stuff
beer?
Will walk around the room.
Stella Artois. Have you ever had a Stella?
Oh, I think I have, yeah.
You know, Leffe, you know, more Hoegaarden. It's a white beer.
So all the stuff made by monks.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
The monks, religious orders, they make all the beers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because,
Budweiser might be sold to the Europeans here soon.
Yes, Jesus. It might be, might
lost
not.
That would be. Yeah. All right, William in Pasadena, you're on 97.1 Free FM.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, what do you got?
Yeah, I'm looking to take out a few women out this weekend, and I'm looking for a good under $40 meal and wine combination, either like a restaurant and maybe a wine I can spend on these chicks for under $40.
And you looking for like old Pasadena? Because you're in Pasadena.
Yeah.
Wait, you want wine and two meals for $40 or less?
Per person, right? Or the whole package?
Total? Whole package.
All right, here's what you do. You get a bottle of wine from Trader Joe's and go to McDonald's.
All right, how about per person?
All right.
You know, why don't you head on over to Eagle Rock and go to Casa Bianca? Casa Bianca's got these great pizzas. You get a big old pizza for like next to nothing.
Casa Bianca's?
Casa Bianca. It's a great old pizza place. You know, get a big carafe of red, which won't cost you much. You're having a good meal. You're having good wine. Everyone's loving it.
Yeah, that's good.
It's
idea.
Over on Colorado Boulevard. You'll know you're there because you'll see a line of about 100 people waiting to get in.
Oh, big line always?
Oh, always, because hey, the prices are amazing. The pizza's one of the best pizzas around.
You know, I get great pizzas. Randy turned me on this place. What's that place called out there? Pizza Land?
Yeah, you ever been to Pizza Land in the Valley right on Laurel Canyon?
Well, is that the one with the rides and everything?
Yeah. Yeah, you can go on the pepperoni. no, but it's right off. It's just... It's on
Laurel and Riverside.
It's on Laurel, just north of Riverside on the west side.
I know just where that is. I've never been there.
It's awesome.
You get a 24, big 24-inch pizza.
For 13 bucks.
With two toppings for, a total of 15 bucks.
Yeah, I mean, less than 36 inches. I can only look at it.
It's unbelievable. They have 36-inch pizzas there.
Yeah, they have that.
I feel like an a-hole putting a 36-inch pizza in my car, though, because I really can't fit, so I got to put the back seat down.
Also, it doesn't go into the house. You got to turn it sideways
right.
in the door.
Yeah. Anytime you're removing the front door to get your pizza in, you know, maybe you got to look at your diet. You know?
No, this is true. There's a chain called Big Mama, Big Papa, and you got to turn the thing like sideways, move it around. You know, you can hear all the pepperoni falling off the pie.
I know. Yeah,
that's
funny.
You have a convertible.
Yeah. All right, Greg and Laguna, you're on 97.1 Free FM.
What are you doing?
Hey, dude, what are you doing?
Hey, really quick, what happened to Dre Wachowski?
Wachowski's no longer with us. He is off.
Joined the Marines, didn't he?
Nah, he's off trying to become a professional poker player. Yeah, he wants to go out there and play poker for a living. And I guess he's kicking ass. He's going to be in a big tournament.
World Series of Poker?
Mid-July. He's trying to get
That's a big one. $12 million prize.
Yeah, and I know because I come from a family of people who like to gamble that's always the best way to go through life, trying to make a living at it because there's never any ups and downs.
You know what? The cards can go any way, right?
I know.
But on any given night, anybody can win.
I know, but it doesn't happen that way.
I know.
What I'd like to see on my tombstone when I die is five playing cards. My name and then five playing cards. Ace, King, Queen, Jack, 9. Busted straight. Michael and La Mirada, you're on 97.1.
Hi, I have a question for a restaurant suggestion. My girlfriend and I, our anniversary is coming up. And I want to go to a nice restaurant out in Orange County. And some people recommended the Montage. I was wondering how you guys felt about that.
Nice place. I would, for super romance, head for the Cellar in Fullerton. The Cellar has been there for a while. You go down the staircase and you are in another world. It was actually designed by the same people who designed Pirates of the Caribbean.
Really?
So there's carvings all over the wall.
I'm gonna write this down.
It is of that old school of fine service, fine dining. It's and they sing.
Where is it? What city?
Fullerton. In old Fullerton, and it's really quite remarkable. So it's called The Cellar.
Yeah, also, my friend Dave Harden loves that Manhattan Supper Club out there.
Yeah, he talked about that. Yeah.
Out in Orange. He said that's a terrific place, too.
Also, actually, Napa Rose over in Disneyland at the big hotel.
I think we have some more music from Napa Rose at Disneyland. Yeah. Same as The Cellar. All right. How do people find out about the Loose Goose Film Festival? Wine Festival, I'm sorry.
It might turn into a film festival one day.
Right.
They can go to our website. It's www.loosegoosewinefestival.com.
Okay.
And they'll find out everything about the four-day event there.
All right. It's LOOSE and GOOSE for all you guys who went to LAUSD.
And it's very 97.1 friendly.
Yeah,
we're out there drinking, having a good time,
yes.
Eating some good stuff. It's
actually a funny story about Frosty. You know, he, I think 2 years ago, he decided that he had a little too much to drink.
I want to go and concentrate on my hamburger.
Frosty, please. All right, so Frosty had too much to drink?
He had a little too much to drink, and he didn't want to drive, so he took a little nap in his car. And the next morning, I get a phone call from the sheriff that there's still one car parked on the whole thing, and if I could please get him out.
When we talk about a little too much to drink, we're talking Frosty too much to drink.
That's a great story. Never heard that on the air before. I'm going to ask Frosty about that. I've done that before, though. When you get drunk, you sleep in the car just to avoid a DUI.
Or under the car or, you know, next to the car.
Great move on a prom night. All right. Thanks for coming in, Peter. Awfully nice to meet you, man.
You're
very welcome.
Thanks.
And Meryl Schindler, you're a big stud.
I love this man.
And people can see you or hear you every single Saturday, right? 5 to 7 p.m.
I'm there.
All right. Thanks for coming in, fellas. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 Free FM.
Just me and the guys, and order up a bowl of fish heads and racks. Now the forks are made of plastic and the chairs are made of metal, but they got a lot of good things cooking in the kettle. So bring your own rum and bring your own ice, and order up a bowl of fish heads and rice. I said fish heads.